You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Look at you with the 80s jams.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Scott looked at me in the studio or in the newsroom this morning and said, or who were we kidding? It was afternoon. And said, we're diving deep in the 80s jams for Michael Mackey today.
I did
look
say
at,
that.
Look at, there's head bobbing. Dan's head bobbing.
Right.
I'm head bobbing.
These are good songs.
I do love me some Pet Shop Boys.
I've always said about a remake, either make it different or make it better, right? Mm. And that version of Always On My
Is
Mind,
both?
But you would... I don't know if it's better than the original, but it's definitely different, but still very good.
Mm-hmm. And catchy.
Yeah. I like that. I liked it when it first came out. I think it was 88?
86? Well, let's compromise. Let's say 80. Let's say 87.
Hang on.
Was it 88?
Chop Boys, Always On My Mind. Let's find out right now.
30th November?
Oh, crap. That's
1987, maybe?
Is that right?
Yeah, 87.
So close.
That was a month off.
All right.
We're going to have to take your
80s card.
Back. 80s card back.
Your 80s card. Hey, I have a bit of good news to share with the team, with the class. Guess what happened to me today? Anyone? Bueller?
What?
There could be all kinds of guesses.
Yeah, I know, right? This could go south.
The list is long and wide.
All right.
You showed up with a coffee. Did you get free coffee?
No, I wish. Oh, that'd be awesome. No, I got a random call today from a number in Arkansas, and I was so close to swiping left, but instead I swiped right, and I was like, hello? And turns out it was the fine folks at Visit Bentonville and Crystal Bridges, and they invited me on a media tour this fall. And I haven't had a travel writing assignment in...
Since Michigan or Wisconsin.
No, it was Lake Charles. Lake Charles was my last one, and that was in January. So it has been it's been kind of a dry spell. And so today, I got one, and it was really nice, and it warmed the cockles.
Go down there and you'd get a bunch of free Walmart stuff.
You're a travel writer.
Yes.
And so when you travel to write,
yes,
the city pay. Can I get into the nitty gritty of this?
Yeah, of course.
The city pays you to come down there, right?
Or the Convention and Visitors Bureau, or the
right. And they put you up at a decent hotel. They give you a little food budget or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And guess what? I've never been to Bentonville, so I don't even know what to expect.
So, but let me ask you this: what would happen? And then they take you on a tour of the city. They show you the things they want you to see. I would assume.
Yes, but then, you know, you also, it's like 75% itinerary.
Them, and then 25% you just kind of walking around on your own.
Yeah, moseying.
What if you are invited to a town, they're paying everything, and you hate it?
That would be Shreveport. Shreveport, the first time I visited, was the land that time forgot. Like, I had the worst.
Did you feel obligated to write nice things about Shreveport, or did you say this place is a dump, or did you just not write the article at all?
It was a little middling, and then they invited me back the next year during Mardi Gras, and I was like, oh, Shreveport is where I need to be. I need to be here all the time. So it's just
with my weird people.
With my weird peoples. Yeah. No, I'm not a as a travel writer, I don't have any gravitas. So I get these odd little assignments like Dory County, Wisconsin and Lake Charles, Louisiana. And now I'm about to add Bentonville, Arkansas, which I've never been to the list. And that's mid-October. So
they've got a lot of stuff down there, actually.
I'm very excited. They call it Wally World because it's where Walmart is headquartered.
That's right. Isn't it in the northwest corner of the state?
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Arkansas only one time, actually twice. But the one time I went down to see one of my favorite bands, and they were playing in Little Rock, and that was the closest they were coming to Kansas City. You're going to love Arkansas. I mean, the people don't have any teeth, but the
stop.
Wow.
Stop.
Wow.
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
I love Arkansas.
But Arkansas, the state, is absolutely beautiful.
Oh, well, the rolling hills,
yes,
mountains,
covered
rivers.
With trees, and
I mean,
oh my god!
Can't really call
them
mountains,
I saw the pictures from. I just Googled from last year, and I saw the pictures because I'm going mid October, and it's going to be jaw droppingly beautiful.
Oh, the foliage is going to be great.
Yeah, you're going to really like it down there.
So,
well, they've got the Ozarks there. You know.
By the way, when you go to Bentonville Square, and I believe, and I could be mistaken, but if my memory serves me correct, It is on the northwest corner of Bentonville Square, is the original Walton's dime store.
Oh, really?
Huh. It's only the like, birth of Walmart.
It's only like 3 hours and change to get to Bentonville, and it's 3 hours and change to get to Des Moines. So I feel like I'm going to have a whole new visit.
They've got a great museum there of American art.
Crystal Bridges.
Crystal Bridges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm excited. I did my recon as soon as I got the assignment.
I've never been to Bentonville, but you would think with Walmart's headquarters being there and how much money that company makes, that those streets would almost be paved with gold. And I was reading a story yesterday.
It's a very art-centric town, thanks to Walmart.
They have rearranged the list of the richest woman in the world. Ms. Walton, his daughter, was number one 2 years ago, and then she was overtaken by some other woman, and then now she has reclaimed the top spot of richest woman in the world. She is worth, I think it's his daughter, Walton's daughter, she is worth $80 billion.
With a B?
With a B.
Was she surpassed by Jeff Bezos's ex-wife?
No. No. It was somebody whose name I didn't recognize. Well, I hope you have fun, man.
I know. I'm very excited. I'm blessed and highly favored.
The world's ozone layer is on the road to long recovery, despite a destructive volcanic eruption in the South Pacific. On current trends, the ozone... Michael and you, Dan, would remember this. The near hysterical panic this planet was in the 80s.
Oh, the moral panic?
Regarding the ozone layer, and it's all these girls putting Aquanet in their hair, and the ozone was going to be depleted and all this other
stuff. Well, the actual, yes, the
On current trends, the ozone layer is on track to recover to 1980 levels by around 2066 over the Antarctic, 2045 over the Arctic, and 2040 for the rest of the world, according to the UN.
Because we got rid of the CFCs.
Is that what you think it is?
Mm-hmm.
The ozone layer, yes, protects the Earth from the sun's ultraviolet radiation, which is linked to skin cancer and other health risks. Right, Sam. Dan, CFCs have been largely replaced by hydrofluorocarbons, which do not cause ozone depletion, but are a powerful climate warming greenhouse gas.
Can't win for losing.
I'm still going to use my Aquanet.
Okay. Those deep sea earth farts, man, they'll get you.
Deep? That is a hashtag.
No,
hashtag
deep sea. He's calling the volcanic eruption a deep sea earth fart.
You know, they've been blaming climate change, and here I go again. I promised I wouldn't do it for the entire hour.
We were getting a 60-minute reprieve.
They've been blaming it on cow farts, right? Methane gas produced by all the cattle in the world. Well, turns out, at least in 2022, the problem was not cow farts. It was the earth that was relieving gas.
Two things can happen at the same time.
He could not. He couldn't
help himself. He starts to twitch.
Conspiracy theory must talk, must speak.
Can't hold it in.
Skin starts itching. He's scratching.
He's like a heroin addict who hasn't had his
Why am I bleeding?
We love him.
We do love him. But the conspiracy,
gotta watch out for those earth farts, man.
The conspiracy theories just don't stop. It's like a crying baby. That's calicky.
That's calicky.
Also, Matthew, while you're down there, take some time and pop over to Eureka Springs if you've never been.
Oh, I've been to Eureka Springs-ish.
It's fantastic.
It's very gay. It's like the mothership has called me home. So,
what?
Eureka Springs is super gay.
I went there.
Well, you deserve a medal. Yay.
I went there on a bachelor party.
Gay.
Wow.
All right, time to go to break.
It's very gay, and
Can we go back to conspiracy?
It's a prideful community.
Yes. Thank you, Daniel.
They do have a well-known staircase that is painted the color of the rainbow.
Well, that's lovely.
Roy G. Biv. We all like that.
What?
Roy G. Biv.
Who's Roy G. Biv?
Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, violet.
Yeah.
I'm gay, color and I didn't rainbow. Even know that. Roy G. Biv. I'm going to start using that.
Science, freshman year.
Science.
913.
Science, first grade. What are you talking about?
913-586-7.
There's a conspiracy theory
7798. 913-586.
It's actually cyan.
7798. Here on Dana and Parks.
All right, stop talking.
Speaking of Walmart, by the way, Walmart-owned Sam's Club said this week it would raise average hourly wages for nearly 100,000 of its workers as part of a new employee compensation plan that will come into effect ahead of the holiday season rush. Wages for its entry-level workers will now start at $16 per hour, up from $15 that it was set at 3 years ago. The company also said hourly wages will grow at a faster clip, rising to between 3% and 6% based on years of service. That would allow workers to quickly attain the maximum pay rate for their given position. And here comes another conspiracy theory from
Sam. I shall resist.
You will not. You can't.
But what's the topic before I decide whether or not I'll resist?
Social media companies engaged in vast surveillance, according to the FTC.
Oh, I'm done. All right.
Walk away. Just walk out.
From NBC News, popular social media platforms and video streaming services pose serious risks to your privacy, with children and teenagers most at risk, according to the Federal Trade Commission in a report released today.
Wait, that's not even a conspiracy theory. That's just fact.
The report, which stretches more than 100 pages, details the data, advertising, and recommendation system efforts by these companies and how they rely on information about users to sell ads. Users also lacked any meaningful control over how personal information was used for AI-fueled systems on the company's platform, according to the report.
There is a very good philosophy to live by when it comes to using digital products. If you are not paying for the product, you are the product.
Mm.
Sam has spoken, ladies and germs.
Mm. The privacy of children and teens were not adequately protected on these social media platforms and streaming services, according to the report. Okay. Okay.
All right, enough said. Perfect.
And now for our topic. You can finally stop pretending to work so hard at your remote job thanks to a new study. The boss knows you're really goofing off half of the time. About 48% of the 3,000 remote workers that they followed, they being SurveyMonkey, now admit to doing household chores, watching TV when they're on work calls. A third say they duck out to run errands, like getting groceries, and one in five even admit to taking a daily nap on company time. Here are the key findings. By the way, let me give the number out because I know those of you who are remote workers insist on it. You love it. I don't blame you at all. I can totally get it. But you will defend this until the end of time. But more and more businesses, and we had this story earlier in the show today, more and more businesses are demanding, Amazon being one of the most recent, that workers come back for all five working days of the week.
I mean, even the company that sells the product that allows people to work remote demanded in-office work.
Zoom. Zoom. I know.
913-586-7798. Remote workers, defend yourselves. Three in four workers use their personal device for work-related tasks, and 4 in 10 workers with work devices conduct personal activity on them. Younger workers embrace quiet vacationing in redefining work-life balance. These are all the findings from the study.
Read that. I'm going to Bora Bora and taking my laptop and putting on my mouse jiggler for the 8 hours that I'm supposed to be working, but I'll be on the beach.
I'm sorry, a mouse jiggler?
That's a device that moves your mouse while you're on, and it makes it look like you're working when all it's doing is just randomly rolling around the screen. The only thing your company is detecting is that your mouse is moving.
Yep, making sure that you are active. Now, if they suspect that there is suspicious activity, they can go in and look at a recording of what you were doing and realize, oh, their mouse is just pinging from side to side. They're obviously not working. But most companies don't look into that stuff, unless you missed your TPS report.
I want a mouse jiggler.
Here are some other findings here in this survey regarding the blurring of lines between work and personal life. 28% of workers, I can't believe this, 28% say they are always or sometimes asked to do work while taking time off on vacation. I've never been asked to do that because I always go to Mexico. 54% check their work email when taking time off. I have never done that.
I think that would be largely in like sales positions. Like, hey, we've got this deadline.
Or legal services.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Realtors.
Oh, yeah.
Well, realtors never stop working. There's
never,
no such thing.
Never.
I have a good friend who's a realtor. She's one of the best in the business, I think. And we were talking a while back. And I said, do you ever get to go on vacation? And she said, yes, but I have to make sure that there is somebody who can show houses for me while I'm gone. And then I'm always checking in with him to see, you know, do they like it? Do I need to, can you run the paperwork for me? And she puts this person on like a retainer.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I'll give you, you know, a couple hundred bucks. Yeah. If one of these houses happens to sell while you're doing the showing, I'll give you a
Just if you go and show the house, I'll give you X number of dollars.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you have to go out and sell this house or show this house, I'll give you X number of dollars. 32% say it is very or somewhat difficult to disconnect from work while on vacation. Negative. Not at all.
Hmm.
I got to be honest, I have been known to pull up the stream.
Why?
To make sure that everything's going
smoothly.
Well,
what are you going to do? Race back from Michigan?
No, it doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like checking four times if the stove is off. It's weird.
Here's what workers have admitted to doing while on a video or conference call with work. 29% said they used the bathroom. 21% say they've browsed social media. 14%, Dana, did online shopping. 12% did laundry. 9% cleaned the kitchen. 4% fell asleep. And 3% took a shower.
Yeah, and for the companies that don't require, especially in like mandatory face-to-face meetings, for your camera to be on, obviously they're going to take advantage. And by the way, I love the idea of sitting at home and getting all of my chores done while I'm being paid by a company. I love it. Why not, right? If they're going to let you get away with it, why not? But when they look at you and say, hey, it's time to take a step back to the Stone Ages of 2019 and return to the office, don't get mad about it.
So this study finds that remote workers really don't work all day. They find other things to do with their time when they're technically, I guess, supposed to be on the clock.
From the text line, guilty on all counts.
Wow.
I won't read your last four in case your employer is listening. You're welcome.
Telephone number is 913-586-7798. It is certainly a trend. I don't know that it's going to go all the way back to the way it was in early 2020, but it is certainly a trend of late that a number of companies are telling their employees it's time to come back. You know, we had complete remote work in 2020 and early 2021. Then we started to compromise. Okay, 3 days in, 2 days out, you pick them. Or maybe it's Monday, Friday at home. And now companies are saying, no, you've got to come back to the office.
Now, there are some companies that have fully leaned into the remote work lifestyle, and they have completely dumped their brick and mortar infrastructure. Because they figured out that, hey, this works and we don't have to waste money on a building and air conditioning as long as our workers are getting the work done. But for other companies, they want to make sure that you're actually doing what they're paying you to do, believe it or not.
By the way, half of remote workers say the only reason companies are calling us back in is so they can micromanage us.
Really?
They want to micromanage us. 913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. So we're talking about this new SurveyMonkey study that found that about half of the 3,000 remote workers they followed admit to doing household chores or watching TV or doing whatever they want when they're working from home. Even a third say they duck out to run errands, like going to the grocery store, and one in five, 20% of remote workers admit to taking a nap on company time. And
now,
there's a lot in this survey. They really went deep.
If you're working your full 8 hours and you, if you were in the office, would have the typical hour-long lunch in the middle of the day and you use that hour to go to the grocery store and the rest of the time you're working,
okay.
I don't see why an employer could be upset. But if you're folding laundry instead of filling out your TPS report, and then at, you know, 10 a.m. when you're supposed to be in a meeting, you take that meeting on your phone and hop in the car and go to the grocery store, they have a reason to be upset.
Is that your second Office Space reference in today's show?
Are you offended?
No, I'm impressed.
Thanks.
913-586.
Pepper that right in.
913-586-7798. Bob in Kansas City.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah, we're gonna need you to come in on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. First, I want to address the whole working hours thing. When you work from home, when you're done with your 8 hours, when you go into the office, you're done. You time out, you go home. Maybe you check an email or something at dinner or, you know, after dinner or whatever. But you're done. Your day's over. When you work from home, you may do 4 hours worth of real work in the morning after you've gotten the kids to school. And then another, you know, maybe you're going to take a nap or in my case, which I'm going to tell in just a second, you know, you go out and you do your own thing. You come back and you do 4 hours. And mind you, I'm a database expert, okay? So I'm not just you know, some guy working from home, you know, who's supposed to be taking calls from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock or something, right?
Okay.
But I have, you guys were talking about different things that people have done while they were working from home. On two totally separate occasions, I have been on the phone in a conference meeting with clients and my boss while I'm sitting in a boat fishing.
That's awesome.
That is
and
awesome.
They knew I was fishing. They knew what I was doing. It was just that there was no reason I had to be sitting in an office, and I was decompressing, but there's no reason I needed to be sitting in an office talking about, you know, what we're going to need to do in the next, you know, for this particular project, because we I recorded all my calls. Never, 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 never not record your calls. That way you can go back and go, well, the client said to do this or said to do that. But, the hours are not the same as my current 9 to 5 or in my case, 8 to 4, where, you know, I go in, I do a job, I've got to be there to meet somebody's needs, some customer or the boss's needs, and then I go home. There may be 4 hours in the middle of a workday for my job where literally the last 4 hours is nothing but sitting there watching the clock tick away. But when I get off work and I time out, if you want me to work in the office, when I time out, I'm done. I'm going home. No work's going to get done until the next morning. Whereas when you work from home, you understand, you know, and it's kind of a thing. It's because you're home, it's part of your life. And so you're like, okay, we're done with dinner. Honey, while you're doing dishes, or I'll do the dishes, see if I've got any emails, or, you know, or I'll be checking my emails on my watch while I'm, you know, while I'm doing whatever things to help get the kids ready for bed.
All right, Bob. Hey, do appreciate the call, man.
Thanks,
Thank you for it. Before we get to Kristen, by the way, we do have an open line if you want it at 913-586-7798 for Michael and for Sam. In an 8-hour workday, how many hours and minutes does the average American actually work?
4.
Okay.
2 hours and 5 minutes.
Sam is much closer, but too low. The average worker does real work for 2 hours and 53 minutes in an 8-hour workday.
Wow.
I don't know if I believe that, man.
I think they're stretching.
What are they all talk show hosts?
Even we work more than that.
Barely.
What we do isn't really working.
Barely. Kristen in Platte City. Hello, Kristen.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So last week I started working for a company that's based out of California, and I'm working out of my house until spring. We're going to try to open an office, and it's really strange because with that California company mentality, they're like the gentleman was just saying, you know, when you log off, sometimes you still work. I worked for a healthcare company during the pandemic, and that's what it was, even though logged off, but I was paid salary. In California, you're paid hourly to keep you from working hours after work. And it was kind of known or said, hey, we understand it's hard to work from home and not try to do other things. They only give you a half an hour lunch. So like when I was with the healthcare company, yeah, I was taking a nap at lunch. I would, I'd set my alarm, take a nap, run out to the grocery store. But there are a lot of other things that have come up where I'm like, oh, well, that's unusual. They're like, well, we're a California company. I'm like, oh, you don't drug test. We're a California company. And so it's
yeah, everybody
different mentality
fail.
There. Yeah. And they're like, well, we know it's legal, but it's a little laid back, but very stringent. And they're kind of like, we get it. You have to get up. You have to get away. It was more like, we understand, without saying we understand, that you're going to do other things besides work. But as long as you get your work done and, you know, you're green. I do that every once in a while to shake it, make sure it stays green. But it's a different mentality with those companies. And everyone just couldn't, we're a California company. So they get away, my word, with more out there, I guess, for their employees. But I know a lot of tech companies out there are starting to try to make their employees come back too. But it's just interesting. It was kind of like a wink, wink, like, yeah, you know, just get your work done. We understand what it's like working at home. I got TV shows playing. I got music playing. I'm watching movies. Hit mute, somebody calls me, you know, so it's a little different mentality, but they make you hourly so that you're not working still at 7 at night on that salary mentality.
Okay.
I took a long lunch, so I'm going to work a little longer.
Well, Kristen, good luck with the new job. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Fingers crossed.
All right. You take care of yourself. Say it again.
It took me 8 months. I was out of work, so I'm excited. Gosh.
Congratulations.
Well, good for you.
Thank you, guys.
That's great.
Take care.
You take care as well.
I tell you what, man, this topic is split down the middle.
A lot of people
are very angry at me for my comments. The other half are like, if you don't want to go back to work, you should be fired.
This is a decent point on the text line. This only works for white-collar jobs, not for blue-collar or service jobs. That's true, largely.
Yeah, it's hard to serve somebody their food when you're sitting at home.
Yeah. Somebody says, I've had so many people tell me that they wish for a remote job so they wouldn't have to pay child care. If you can sit and rock a sick baby and watch a toddler all day, you are dreaming. Our employer has a timer. If you're not taking calls, you are done. I work for the federal government.
I can't fathom not being in the studio with you. I just...
Well, there was 3.5 months when...
Oh, I know.
I was about to go insane.
I am well aware.
I have to have human contact. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, no worries. I just like the... I like to see you guys.
Yeah, what
like
do you mean about to go?
Right. Well,
really?
I mean...
Why are you so hurtful?
I love you.
I don't feel like it.
That's a rough crowd.
Pizza Hut is going to put resumes on boxes to help job seekers get notice. Pizza Hut offering to help job seekers stand out by printing their resumes on pizza boxes and then delivering those boxes along with a medium-sized cheese pizza to prospective employers. It's called the Res-a-mays.
Res-a-mays.
Weak.
R-E-S, capital Z, capital A-M-E-S.
Here is a fun fact, and I am so pro Pizza Hut. I worked at Pizza Hut for exactly 10 years to the day. I started when I turned 16, and I left when I turned the day that I had my 10-year anniversary when I turned 26, and I got my 10-year whatever award. I don't even remember what that was.
A free pizza?
No, it was substantial.
Really?
Yeah, it was like $300. And
you weren't working full-time because you went to college.
No, right. I know. But Pizza Hut was like 10 years is 10 years.
They took care of you.
Huh.
They took care.
And then after you graduated from Iowa, what was your first big boy job?
I worked at KCCI, and Iowa's News Leader.
But while you were working at Iowa's News Leader, you were still working at Pizza Hut?
Yes, because
KCCI, Iowa's News Leader, didn't pay a lot, did it?
They paid me $18,000 a year.
You got a lot more than I did.
Oh, how much did you have?
My first job paid me $15,500.
Well, I think when I left KCCI like 6 years later, I was only making 21, so.
We had to walk to work uphill both ways.
Here we go.
Did you guys know, and this is just stumped me, but I just saw this story on X. Did you guys know that there is not a single superhero other than the fake impersonators that walk around on top of them? There is not a single superhero on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
What about Christopher Reeve?
That is set to change. Not the actor, the hero themselves.
Oh, what's the first superhero going to be on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Batman?
Superman.
Superman.
Batman.
Really?
Yep.
Wonder Woman was robbed.
Okay. 913-586-7798. Michael Mackey, Sam Stevie III.
Shalom.
My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. I would imagine not. Where are you seeing that? See, Michael just asked me, are you not allowed to take pagers and walkie-talkies on airplanes anymore? I would imagine the answer is no, especially in the Middle East.
I just had that thought because it just popped up on the text line.
Oh, I thought you were looking at a news site over there.
No, I'm just like, oh.
I mean, if they're spontaneously combusting, I would imagine that's probably a pretty good policy to not have or to have.
I wonder when that will be implemented.
I imagine nobody's taken a pager on an airplane since, 1998. Or a walkie. I mean, if you're getting on a plane with a walkie-talkie, you better be in law enforcement.
Yeah, who are you trying to communicate with?
The guy in row 9? Let's go for the cockpit. No way. Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh has always been my favorite painting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, of course, attracted to the stories about it online this morning. Apparently, there is some bizarre mathematical structure built into the flowing lights, the circular flowing lights of night in the painting. It's called turbulent flow. And apparently, Vincent van Gogh mastered it in his masterpiece. It's a common natural phenomenon observed in fluids like moving water, ocean currents, blood flow, billowing storm clouds, and plumes of smoke. Turbulent flow is chaotic as larger swirls or eddies form and break down into smaller ones. Okay. Who knew? Mind blown. I wish Dana was here for this one. Sales of previously owned homes fell 2.5% in August from July, to a seasonally adjusted annualized rate of 3.86 million units, according to the National Association of Realtors. That is slightly lower than what analysts expected. Sales were 4.2% lower than August of last year. It marks 3 straight months of sales below the 4 million mark annualized.
Homes are not flying off the market like they once were.
No, apparently not.
Somebody very close to this program is experiencing just that.
And much stress and anxiety because of it.
Yeah.
The company behind Tupperware, the plastic kitchenware that revolutionized food storage after World War II and became linked to the parties where women seeking a measure of financial independence and fun in mid-century America sold the colorful products, has filed for bankruptcy.
Dun,
what?
Dun. Duh.
Is this one of those situations kind of like Rubbermaid where they're victims of their own success?
Yeah, but I mean, who among us doesn't have Tupperware in that drawer and you don't know where the lid went?
But when was the last time that you had to buy more Tupperware?
I do buy more Tupperware if I can't find the lid, I don't throw it away. I recycle it.
Okay.
And then when I'm at the store, I'll buy some more. Now, Tupperware has become sort of a generalized name like Kleenex or
exactly,
Xerox,
yeah.
You know, where any sort of food storage container.
Like Rubbermaid is Tupperware, not.
It's just called Tupperware. You know, say, hey, can you hand me a Tupperware for this? It's just a generalized name for that kind of a product.
But that was the big thing that happened with Rubbermaid in particular, was that their product was so durable that people bought it once and never needed it again. Because why do you need 15 different trash cans? I only need one.
Fair.
Fair.
But younger people get older and then they need it. I mean, I'm not going to take a hand-me-down trash can when I buy my first house.
Is there a push against plastic food storage containers?
I wouldn't say.
Not if you looked in my fridge.
Me either.
Okay.
Although I will toss my Tupperware / Rubbermaid out if it gets stained. That's for some reason, like if you put...
Like with pizza.
I mean, not you store pizza, your spaghetti.
Spaghetti sauce, or, you know.
Why is it that the spaghetti sauce can never come out of that stuff?
I don't know.
I have scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed. It will not leave.
On a micro level, it is porous.
Huh. Despite enjoying the same cultural ubiquity as Kleenex, Teflon, and other brands whose trademark names are connected with entire product categories, Tupperware has suffered from waning sales, rising competition, and the limitations of the direct-to-consumer marketing model that once defined its success.
I would also be willing to bet that Tupperware is not the cheapest one on the shelf.
Probably not.
And people always go to the, the dollar sign first.
All right, we got to run. Don't forget to check out the podcast at KMBZ.com. The bonus hour is coming up right after a quick break for the news. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host, Michael Mackey.
Hello and goodbye.
My name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. Have a great night. Be safe. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.